Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Sunday, January 12th. That means it is time for our new, as of this year, for the day's at least a bracket rundown show. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by a cast of thousands here at Hoops HD. We've got David Griggs and Matt Sikowski up top here. Joby Fortson in the center square, John Titel and Mike Cha to his sides, Rocco Miller from bracketeer.org down there at the bottom row. I think that's everybody that's with us tonight. And this is our bracket rundown show. What we're going to do tonight is actually build a seed list, sort of do Griggs, kind of what the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee does, but in about 45 minutes instead of a week.
Yeah, I mean, we are so good at this that we can take what, you know, it takes them 4 days to do this. We're going to do this in about an hour, and we're going to do just as good of a job as they do, maybe better. That's how good we are.
What we are going to do is we are going to both pick and seed teams at the same time, all the way up through the end of the at-large bids. And then after the show is over, we're going to create a bracket. If you look down below us on this pod, on this post right now, you can see that bracket and you just ruined the whole show.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. But I mean, you'll get to see us debate, discuss, and assess. And I think what we're just going to do, Chad, is we're going to just plug my seed list onto the screen.
Anyhow, I thought we'd start off with one of our favorite things also before we even get to it. I figured, why not?
Oh, yes. The season premiere
of blind resumes. And I want to go through a couple blind resumes up here for teams that clearly they're bubble-ish type of teams here. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But let me kind of open it up to for a couple thoughts here on these two resumes. Do you like left better? Do you like right better? Before we get to guessing, at least, let's say left or right better. And Matt, I see you nodding your head. Let me start with you. Left or right better?
Yeah, I'm going with the right. Just kind of, I'm seeing they're better in the predictive metrics. They got those two Q1 ones against one. I know they got some Q1 losses too, but I slightly lean team on the right.
Yeah, and Rocco, let me ask you, because when you look at the right, you got 4-6 against the top three quadrants. When you go left, you got 6-4 against the top three quadrants.
Yeah, I agree with Matt, though, because at this point in the process, we're about almost the midway point of the regular season. You just want to bank as many big wins as you can, and the one on the right has double. Although
1-2 or one is not very good, though.
Yeah, it's double. the remaining schedule is pretty important, and I can't tell who has a better remaining schedule. So if the team on the right happens to have a horrible remaining schedule, like if they're in the America East, then I'll take the team on the left.
Joby, any thoughts from you? Let me get one more opinion here.
Yeah, that's where I'm from. Okay. I like the team on the right for the exact reasons. What you will hear tonight from me is I like teams with wins against teams they're playing in March. The team on the right has two. The team on the left only has one. It's obviously not a blowout, but the team on the right is where I am. Top
if I threw out
the
there
top
that
three
that
tier stat is a little misleading, given of those wins against the top tier, six of the seven are tier three, and nets of over 100. So
if I threw in there that team number 40 on the team on the right there is probably not going to be in the field tonight. Would that make it a little more even?
That is. So the at-large cutoff is around 47.
I had the team on the right. I think I had it in my field. Okay. I think I know where the team on the right is.
The team on the right is probably in everybody's field, but the team number 40 that they beat might not be, is what I'm kind of going at. Matt, who are the teams? You got to figure it out?
Ohio State's the team on the right, I think.
Okay. You nailed that. Anyone guess who's on the left?
God. I've got no idea who the team on the left is.
Neutral winning.
I don't think I considered the team on the left at all. So
I'll tell you, I want to throw this team up here because I was going pretty far down, and I saw this resume
against Mike's team. Mike's team is 9 on the net. I don't know who the.
That's Oklahoma.
SMU. Okay.
How about a team we haven't discussed that much all season? Titel, let me bring you in. Wake Forest, maybe not. Probably won't make our field here tonight, but. There's no bad losses there. And does that say something at this point in the season?
It does, Chad. I agree that resume-wise, I would have also leaned right based on OAR and predictive metrics. But I think that I love blind resume, of course. The strength of schedule, I mean, when you've only won one game in Tier 1 and Tier 2 combined, I like that they don't have any bad losses, Chad, but I do not see them getting a lot of mention tonight.
All right, but let's see.
They're playing well. Have they won like 6 out of 7 or something? I mean, Wake is starting to make a little bit of noise, so they might not get in the night. But you look at that remaining schedule.
4 straight games against tournament teams. Four straight coming up in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And well, that's their chance. Let's see if you are one. You know.
And that's not a chance you get in the ACC this year either. So
right, and 3 of them are at home.
After that, they have no games against tournament teams until they play Duke at the end of the year. So that's their season.
let's go ahead and pull up our seed list here. This is the seed list we're going to be populating tonight. We're going to take one seed line at a time. There's a little counter here in the bottom left corner. When that hits 0 at-large bids remaining, we will be done. But Tytel, let me go back to you. Let me give you the honor of starting things off tonight with the top 4 teams in the nation.
I think that everybody would agree. We'll see that Auburn is way up there, if not number 1 overall. I have them as number 1 overall.
Yeah.
With the X factor being Jani Broome's ankle injury, which thankfully is not a season ender. I think Duke is one of the hottest teams in the nation and has beaten a little team called Auburn. So they have to be up there. Iowa State almost blew it at Texas Tech, but I got a great conference road win against a good team, so I have them up there. And then for the 4th, I would flip a coin between Tennessee and Alabama. I'll go Tennessee, but I would not veto Alabama.
Right, let me just real quick note here. You're seeing some numbers populate. The first column is the main NCAA metric, the net. The middle column is strength of schedule. OAR is an average that we put together of all the major net metrics. Ken Palm ratings there in the Palm column, and Joby, your J&G ratings, like we found right up there on the website, are the right. So quick primer frame that doesn't know what all those numbers are. But let me get some thoughts on this. Rocco, what do you think about his 1 through 4?
I like the first two. We're on the same page for sure. And then, well, almost the same page. I have Tennessee number 2 overall. It's a little bit of a wild card. And I do think projecting it out, this is probably doomed to fail, but I also have Alabama as the 4th number 1 and Duke as the 3rd number 1 and Iowa State missing the 1 seeds. And mainly for that is, Tennessee's got 5 wins against the board in my board, 3 of them on the road, Illinois, Louisville, Texas. Iowa State's got 2 on the road. Although they do have 5 against the board as well, but their 2 are just Texas Tech and Iowa, I would argue, are both bubble teams right now. And Tennessee's weight, and plus the fact that they have a 3rd road win, I think is better than Iowa State. Duke's in there wherever you want to put them. I'm not as worried about where Duke lands because they are a 1 seed. And then I do like Alabama above Iowa State because they have 6 wins against the field. And that road win at Texas A&M yesterday – I think it's just a lot heavier, plus the road win at North Carolina with neutral court Illinois and Houston wins. It's very heavy at the top for the Tide.
Yeah, the Tide look really, really good. I actually had Alabama as 5th overall, so, you know, a shade below this. And Iowa State, and I realize that this might not be the way the actual committee would evaluate it, but there is something to be said about – 1 loss to who I feel is clearly the best team on a neutral floor by 2. I just, you know, to be that close to being undefeated against that type of schedule, it's kind of hard not to like Iowa State. A team that you didn't mention and that Rocco didn't mention is a team that beat Tennessee recently rather handily, albeit at home. Did anybody consider Florida for the 1 line? They actually are on mine. Maybe I'm way off there because, but I did have the Gators up on the 1 line.
I don't think they're far off. I would have them 6th overall. I just think out of these 5, I liked what you said, Griggs, about Iowa State and what Tytel said too. They're a great option for the 1 line. And obviously you have that argument. They're 1 basket away from Auburn on a neutral 4, but some of these other teams so far, based on what we know, have just deposited bigger wins. And that's Florida's problem too. Their first big road win came yesterday at Arkansas. Mm-hmm. We like the Carolina and Arizona State neutral court wins. But it's not near the weight that the other 5 have.
There's that Florida profile We're kind of discussing three teams here. Mike, let me throw it over to you. Florida, Alabama, Iowa State. There's only room for one of them if we're agreeing on the other three teams on this line.
Has Marquette been mentioned?
For the no.
Oh, for the one line.
Yeah, we're still talking about the one.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that's a little early, Mike.
So I choose between Florida or Iowa State.
Florida, Iowa State, and Alabama is kind of the debate here. I just kind of wanted to get your thought on these three teams. These are the three teams. I think I've kind of heard that. I haven't heard anybody say that Tennessee doesn't belong up here.
Well, I'll kind of make that. They are my fifth team, just as a note.
Okay, but you're going to make it more difficult.
I would choose Iowa State, right?
Okay.
I like Iowa State and Alabama for the reasons Rocco gave and Griggs gave. It's five teams, though. I do think it's five.
I think so.
It's close.
And Florida's pounded a lot of teams. They're very impressive. It's just the only difference is they haven't collected the huge wins quite yet.
Yeah. Duke did beat Iowa State, but they beat them at home. I actually had Duke is, you know, down on the two line, but I mean, I know that, like, if I were guessing the committee, I'd have Duke this high. Duke is
legit good. Let me get one more opinion here. Tytel, let me go back to you. Should maybe Alabama be there instead of Iowa State or Tennessee or Duke?
No, okay. I'd not veto it if everybody else thinks so. Their metrics are all fantastic. But I've been most impressed by these four. I understand Tennessee got destroyed by Florida by 30. I get it. But they bounced back nicely by not choking at Texas. And Auburn's consensus, Duke seems unstoppable. And Iowa State almost blew it, but they didn't. And they're great.
Yeah.
I think this is the most love I've heard from you. I think that I've heard one. Each of you have one team you want to not knock off here other than Auburn. But I think that this might be our four teams here. Joby, let me run to you here for the two line with Alabama and Florida.
Alabama is clearly the top of this heap, in my opinion. Then I'll go, Matt, is not too late for your team. I go Oregon, Marquette, and I'm going Kentucky.
Hold on, you wouldn't go Florida?
You know, I dropped Florida to the back of this line. We pre-call and full disclosure to our listeners, we said there's a top nine. Florida is in that top nine. I just have them at the back end of it.
Okay.
Because I had Tennessee. Remember, I had Tennessee on the two line. So it's not like they beat a one seed in my world. You know, they beat a two seed in my world. So, you know, we can debate. And Alabama is clearly fifth. And I'm up. I am totally open among those four remaining teams of Marquette, Oregon, and Kentucky, especially after what Kentucky did yesterday.
Yeah, right, Kentucky's win yesterday. Wow.
Well, we just debated Florida for the one line, and they did not make the two line as of the moment. So let's see if everyone agrees with Joby or doesn't agree with him here. But Griggs, I know you had a comment first of all, so I'll go to you first.
I really like the Kentucky profile, but I just again, Florida's only loss was at Kentucky in a game that was incredibly close. And I realized that, similar to Iowa State, to have that loss in a true road game, which I know Iowa State lost to Auburn on a neutral floor. Well, Florida lost to Kentucky at Kentucky in a game that was about that close. And they blew Tennessee's doors off, albeit it was at home. And while it's a little flimsy as far as what's on the top of it compared to some of the other teams we're looking at, I just think Florida is that good right now. Now, fortunately, with all these teams playing each other, it should sort itself out by the end. But if you're asking me who I like more now, it's Florida.
So you would take Florida and knock Kentucky down a seed line here.
No, I would actually knock Marquette down because I don't like Matt. Well, I don't like Matt, but I would still like
Matt. Well, Matt, should your Marquette team be the team that we knock down off this line and get Florida up here?
See, I would put Florida there. I would knock Oregon off the two line. I think that's way too early for Oregon.
I could live with that.
It's a little bit predictive metrics one, but man, like, I watched an Illinois-Oregon game. It's going to be a hard time for me to take Oregon that seriously after that game up at the two-line level.
Well Rocco,
Oregon didn't take Oregon seriously that game either, Matt. I mean, let's be
Rocco,
fair here.
Rocco, Oregon has a huge collection of Tier 1 wins, but maybe should they be down a seed line with two home losses?
I think the argument can be made. I have Oregon at number eight, so they're squeezing into the twos for me. I'm with Iowa State, Florida on my two line as the best two, and then Marquette and Oregon. And I do. I mean, I can introduce one more team if you're open to it, Chad.
Sure. Yeah.
And this one snuck up on me because I had them quite a bit lower before the weekend. But Kansas, after winning at Cincinnati, I have them ninth overall, so they would actually still be a three seed. But I think they're right there with Oregon and Kentucky for that last spot with everything popping. They're up to eight in net. They've got another road quality win to go along with they have the Duke win, the Michigan State win. So Kansas is kind of back onto the scene, in my opinion.
I guess my, Rocco, that Cincinnati win will be against a 12-20 team by the time.
Yeah, I don't give them a lot of credit for
that.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to agree with Joby completely there. I don't know that Cincinnati win carries much weight for me because I don't know that we're going to see Cincinnati this field tonight. We
Yeah,
probably
I mean,
won't.
we'll see how that plays out. I haven't really done a full bubble breakdown, to be honest, quite yet. So you guys might be right about that. I do
Yeah,
think
they're not on it.
the Duke win is going to matter, and the Michigan State win is going to matter, I think. So they've got a little bit to work with, at least.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I would have led with, Rocco. Duke and Michigan State, not Cincinnati.
Tytel, let me run this by you real quick here. We got Alabama, Marquette, Kentucky. I think there was kind of a consensus to get those three, and maybe it was between Florida and Oregon for the fourth spot.
It is. I would lean Florida based on the metrics. Although the Ducks had an amazing win today. I don't know if anybody saw it. It was a few hours ago during a lot of the football playoff games, but the Ducks were down by nine with under 7 minutes to go and came all the way back to win it. The win probability chart is gorgeous.
Yeah.
Although Penn State was playing without East Baldwin Jr., so that is a factor. Which is a long way of saying I would lean Florida, but the Ducks are solid, so coin flip.
I think that's kind of what I'm hearing here is Alabama, Marquette, Kentucky, Florida. Not hearing too much objection there. Let's go on to the three line, keep things rolling here. And Mike, let me turn to you here. Who would your next four teams up be after the eight we have on the board there already? I know we do have Kansas and Oregon under consideration, but not in yet.
Three line, I definitely would have Oregon. I mean, if they were debated to be in the two line, so definitely Oregon should be there. I have Mississippi State, Illinois, and
Rick.
Kansas.
Mississippi State, Illinois, and Kansas. All right. Matt, what do you think about his four picks there?
I like the Illinois on there. I like the Kansas. Mississippi State, I had 13, so that's not far off. I have Oregon 14. I'm probably lowest on Oregon of everyone on that. One team you didn't mention I have is the number 10, actually, is Texas A&M.
Yeah.
Okay, let's
Like
pull.
Matt's showing no anger towards his former head coach.
No, I haven't told you this. I'll be rooting for the 14 to beat him as a three, but
Who'd you knock down then, Matt, if you put Texas A&M in here?
I'd probably Mississippi State in that, 'cause I think I realize I'm lowest consensus in Oregon, so let's go after who I can knock off, and that'd be Mississippi State of that.
So let's pull up there, Mississippi State versus Texas A&M. Joby, what do you think about that question?
I'm with Matt on this. And it's no shame. I mean, Mississippi State,
Yeah.
like I said, we just complimented Kentucky for the win at Mississippi State, but Mississippi State took the loss at home. That swings it a little bit more to the Aggies for me. But yeah, it's definitely a close call, but I'm with Matt. I like Andy.
Chuck, can I throw another team out there?
Good.
Okay, and it might not be a team that's on Mike's radar. He just may not see them much. What about Michigan?
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, what about Michigan?
Hey, Mike, what about Michigan? Have you seen them play yet this year?
No. Juwan Howard is doing a great job as coach.
Yeah, but I mean,
Oh, wait a
I
minute.
thought it
They
was
changed
still Steve
coaches? They have
Fisher
a new
there.
coach?
I mean the wins those are some monster road wins at Whiskey and then at UCLA, and they don't there's one of the things is that while the loss to Wake Forest has you holding your nose a little bit, it's looking a lot better and it's aging well. And, you know, I just like the way that this team's played. The one thing that I can't get past is that I just think they're better than what their profile currently indicates. But if you peel it back, I mean, at Washington, at Whiskey and at UCLA, I don't think there's any way with a collection of two true road wins quite as good as that.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tytel, if you look at some of the metrics, they kind of favor the Wolverines over A&M, especially on the more so on the predictive side, I guess, here.
True, Chad, but I think a good argument can be made that the Wolverines are the second best team in Michigan that should be on this bracket.
Ooh.
I do agree.
So, well, would you go with any team from the state of Michigan on the three line, or would you hold off until another line or two later?
I mean, I do like Oakland, of course, but yes, I think that Sparty is more of a 4 seed than a 3 seed, to answer your question.
Well, I thought you were going to say Eastern Michigan.
where are we at here? Rocco, do we have it then if we go Oregon, Illinois, Kansas, and we swap in A&M for Mississippi State?
Yeah, I like that. Except for I would have Michigan above Illinois for sure.
Why do we like A&M more than Mississippi State?
Yeah, I think Mississippi State's an odd team out, and I like the Wolverines above Illinois for sure.
So would you put Mississippi State back in here then and drop Illinois out of this list?
No, I would put Michigan over Illinois.
Okay.
I have no interest in Mississippi State.
No interest in Mississippi State. So
what do we not like about Mississippi State?
I'm trying to get rid of teams that take home losses, and besides Oregon, and that would be Mississippi State, and it would be Illinois. They just lost by 10 to USC at home.
Their home loss was to Kentucky. I mean, it wasn't.
Well, Mississippi State.
They do have the one bad loss to Butler. I can see that being.
Well, let's throw Mississippi State aside here for a second. And Joby, what about we drop Illinois with that home loss to USC, which is a major blemish down there in Tier 3, and said maybe we put in Michigan with those two great road wins?
I'm not actually looking outside the Big Ten for both these guys. I like Sparty, obviously. I do like Sparty over Michigan. Illinois and Sparty are competing on the four line for me. I have a whole different team that is going to make people shudder. But once again, it's
– Oh, come on, Joby. Utah State isn't that good. I mean,
teams
we all like
beat
them.
Teams in the field. I love them. And Penny Hardaway has done that. One bad loss to Arkansas State, but which, by the way, is the best team in the Sun Belt, and an NIT level team on their own right. You know, even if they don't win the conference, but they have collected some really nice wins in Memphis.
I wanted to bring up Memphis this early. I didn't think anybody else would agree with me, but now that you do,
look at that.
I had him as a protected
five tournament
seed.
Teams just sitting right because I think Missouri's won five tournament teams just blam lost to Auburn, not a big deal. We do have the Mississippi State.
They did lose at home to Mississippi State, who I really like.
But you know the collection that Penny's done, he did the work because I'll tell you. This resume needs to age where it is right now because obviously the American's not going to give them many opportunities. But right now, as I look, I really like Memphis.
Mike, has he convinced you? Maybe we should throw Memphis in there and drop all the Big Ten teams out of this line.
No. I mean, Memphis is solid, but. I wouldn't go that far.
You wouldn't go that far. We're going to need a tiebreaker here.
But I am a little biased, so I mean, I'm you know, Big Ten bias here.
Rocco, I think you kind of liked the Memphis idea up here, didn't you?
Well, here's the thing, Chad. I've got Texas A&M 11, Michigan 12, and Memphis 13. So those are the right teams, in my opinion, to look at, although we're splitting hairs on a ton of these. But, yeah, that would be the order I go. A&M first, then Michigan, then Memphis.
Tytel, has anyone convinced you about Memphis?
But they do have a neutral court win over Michigan State, though, and that, I can't ignore that.
Mm-hmm. I really agree with the puppet, but can you remind me, puppet, who Memphis lost to?
Mississippi State.
Bingo.
At home.
All right, we're at a coin flip here. I'm going to go ahead and go with that Mississippi State because they seem to be the least objectionable of everybody, even though nobody really liked them. I think nobody hated them.
No, one of us really liked them.
But we'll go Oregon, Kansas A&M, Mississippi State, and it was just because we got to move on here. And Matt, let me go to you for the next four teams. And there are we do have the entire Big Ten up there on the board under consideration, by the way.
Yeah, I will grab a couple of those, and those are Illinois and Michigan. And then I got Gonzaga. And then I actually have another Big Ten team that hasn't been mentioned yet, Purdue.
You wouldn't go Memphis yet, huh?
No, I would not.
Ooh, they almost made our three line, and you just bumped them off of the – oh, we did not go Memphis. I'm sorry. They stay up under consideration. Let's get some thoughts here, Rob. Mike, let me start with you. Should Memphis and Michigan State be held off in favor of teams like Gonzaga and Purdue?
I'm going to be honest with you. Even as a Wolverine fan, I would have Michigan State over Michigan. I know it's a solid four. I do have Memphis over Purdue.
Michigan State. Yeah, and that's the team that's going to take a lot of selling. Rocco, Purdue, are they a protected seed at the moment?
I'm not there yet on Purdue.
Yeah, I'm not either.
No. They've been an awesome home court hero so far, but they've been a totally different team on the road.
I think Purdue's more of a five than a four.
Yeah, it just depends on their, you know, how you stack them up to different teams, but I don't think they're a four quite yet. On this line, I like Memphis, Illinois, Michigan State. The Gonzaga thing is interesting because I don't think they have the credentials to belong in terms of resume. But obviously with their performance stuff and the way the committee treated them last year, I think they're interesting.
Same with
Houston. They're like number one in predictives, and they don't have a quad one win.
I really wanted to get Houston up here, but I couldn't because of the nothing in Q1.
Nothing in Q1. Rocco, remember that Gonzaga got an extra seed because of the BYU Sunday thing.
They were six on the S curve last year.
Because of that.
Right. But still, they jumped to like 21. I mean, that's very high for a bubble team 3 weeks before the show.
True enough.
Well, I'm not caught up in trying to guess the committee. And I agree with what you said, Rocco, that Gonzaga perhaps looks good and perhaps should be performing at a level that's higher than what they are. But when you look at what they've done nothing, at least in terms of like merit, that matches anybody we've put in so far in a few teams that we haven't. I mean, I don't have Gonzaga. I have them ahead of Purdue, but I don't have them on this line. And I have Purdue kind of a bit low. I mean, when you look at where Michigan tops out, where Illinois tops out, where UConn, who has not been mentioned, tops out, where other teams, I mean, they top out way ahead of Gonzaga, and I just can't get them up there when they're 0 for, every against all of the protected seeds they've played, and the other teams are not.
Yeah.
Well, we got to do something here, and I'm kind of hearing a lot of love for taking Gonzaga and Purdue both off this line. Yes. Titel, should we take them both off and maybe and put Michigan State and Memphis in here?
Who do you want to take off, Chad?
Gonzaga and Purdue.
No veto.
And that's kind of what I'm hearing here from most of you is Memphis and Michigan State here with Gonzaga and Purdue kind of held over a bit, at least another seed line here. And I think that gives us our top 16 teams, unless anybody wants to yell and scream about any of these teams here.
Yeah.
Okay. Rocco, let me go to you for the five line. We do have Houston, Gonzaga, and Purdue under consideration, and a couple teams that I think should have been mentioned by now that have not, but go ahead.
All right. Well, here we go. I have to go with Houston. I get the difference between a protected seed and not. I think this is where you can start with the performance stuff. So Houston comes in first, and then I go Wisconsin, and then I would go Utah State, and I would go Ole Miss.
Ole Miss was a team I was surprised nobody ever mentioned yet. I'm glad you brought them up here.
I'm kind of stunned that another team was not mentioned yet.
Go ahead, Griggs. What team?
Well, Connecticut.
Let's put them under consideration.
Beaten Gonzaga, by the way.
Yeah.
And you know, not to mention a few other teams. Now, again, if our good friend Zach Singer is watching this, and I do need to point out that they finished eighth in Maui, because I need to do that.
Okay.
They also almost lost to Providence, too.
Yeah.
UConn didn't have a very good week this week either, Griggs.
Yeah, lost to Villanova.
They lost to Villanova. But let's get some thoughts here, Matt. Let me start with you on this Houston, Wisconsin, Utah State, Ole Miss group with Gonzaga, Purdue not being in, and UConn as well not being in.
I definitely would like Gonzaga on this line, probably over Utah State.
Well, Joby agrees with you. We know that.
I am not as much of a hater, believe it or not, on Utah State on this line as I am with Houston. And I actually think Utah State should be ahead of Houston. And that should tell you something on my disdain for Houston. You need to actually beat somebody.
Yeah,
Houston's,
and they haven't.
Even with like UC Irvine right now on their wins. Oh, wait a minute. UC Irvine actually beat UCSD. Houston's beat nobody.
Us Houston rated so high in the net.
I don't care about performance metrics. If you know, Marist only has two losses. Should we be doing about them? I mean, come on.
You look at Houston. It's the number one defense of the nation. The number 13 offense. BPI is the number one in the nation. Torvik has the number one in the nation.
It matters. They have to beat somebody.
If you're asking me,
Houston could wind up with those metrics. Houston, if they ran the table against that Big 12 schedule, would be sitting on the one line. I'm fine with it. We are now at a position where they don't deserve it.
Yeah, I'm with Joby
on this.
They don't
have a ceiling that's through the roof.
I hear
you saying right now they are not a five seed.
Yeah, right now, like, I do think Houston will win the Big 12. They're my pick to do it. But if you're assessing what has happened up until now to this point, you look at Houston and nothing has happened. That doesn't mean that it won't. It probably will. But right now it hasn't. And until it does.
Whereas UConn has actually gotten wins. I'm with the UConn. I'm with Gonzaga.
You're not going Gonzaga, you're going UConn?
Over Houston.
Okay.
Go ahead, well, if you go off of what they've done, they're, Houston's like an 8 seed right now. They're 3-1 strength of record and wins above bubble. So they'd be an 8 seed. What number one seed wants to play Houston in the second round?
No, jeez.
You know, if Houston is an 8 seed, guess what? They will have taken on water that has made them an 8 seed. We think their ceiling is. They will have shot way short of their ceiling, and maybe they're that Kentucky team who's an 8 seed who actually in reality just mailed it in more than they should have, you know.
A little bit of the tie top. What are your thoughts on this debate? Should Houston be knocked down a seed line? And if so, should it be Gonzaga, UConn, Purdue, somebody else?
I think you're correct that UConn struggled in Maui, best eighth place team ever, and have struggled the past week or so with McNeely hurt, who's like arguably the best freshman in the Big East. It's Thomas Sowore, but arguably. I think UConn would destroy Wisconsin head to head. Not just now, but also in March.
So you would actually put UConn here and let's knock Houston down.
I would knock Wisconsin down.
You knock Wisconsin down?
Yeah.
Unless everybody loves them.
Does anybody want to defend Wisconsin being up here? Maybe both they and Houston come off this line in favor of maybe UConn and Gonzaga.
I got up to about this point on my process, so I can't really argue. I haven't even got to this one yet. in Titel, we trust.
All right, so let's go ahead. Looks like Utah State and Ole Miss are solid on this line here, but it looks like it's going to be UConn and Gonzaga finishing it off with Houston and whoever else I just knocked off of that list there, Wisconsin, along with Purdue on the carryovers here. That looks like the five line here, which means, unfortunately, Griggs, you're the last one left, so you got to get the six line.
Okay, so we've got – okay.
We got Houston, Wisconsin, and Purdue.
I'm trying to update
Ole Miss is in, yes.
Yeah, Ole Miss is in. Let's see. So I've got Purdue, Houston, Baylor, and this team is real schizophrenic. So – you could make a case that they deserve to be here and perhaps higher, but you could also shoot that same case down. And their coach left their most recent game early, UCLA.
Can I quickly ask you, did you not even consider West Virginia at this point?
Yeah, I considered them pretty strongly. I have okay. them very, very close, as I do with Wisconsin, very close. But it feels like, to answer your question honestly, almost out of character, it seemed like we're to a point on my seed list now where, like, eventually I have to make a decision because I could keep going back and forth and moving teams up and around. Yes, I considered West Virginia very closely, okay. and it would make sense to put them here.
All right. Let's get a few other opinions here then. Rocco, let me start with you. What about this Purdue, Houston, Baylor, UCLA as the group, but still no Wisconsin, who we just took off of a seed line?
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's qualified from what I understand. And then I think it's an okay place for Purdue. My next two teams would have been West Virginia and Georgia.
I like Georgia a lot as well. Yeah.
So you would have had them over Baylor and UCLA?
Yeah, Baylor, Georgia are very close for me. And Baylor did get a road win. I know Georgia's been getting good home wins. So I guess I'm good with Baylor over Georgia, if you guys want to go that way.
Yeah, Georgia's only road win was at Georgia Tech. Baylor's right. only one road win, but there was a little bit better was at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Last night, yep.
Matt, what do you think about these? About this being the teams that maybe Griggs got it right with Purdue, Houston, Baylor, UCLA, or maybe UCLA
three of the four right. I would take Wisconsin over UCLA. Okay.
Yeah,
I agree. That's
much more consistent.
UCLA
body of work.
Yeah, UCLA is not consistent.
Yeah,
God, that's good. I mean, the Gonzaga in Oregon away from home is very good.
But that's one of those you got. Pitt, who I think Pitt's pretty close to this discussion. Arizona was home, but yeah, like, and then that 6 Q1 and 2 wins versus only 3 for UCLA.
While Matt, you mentioned Pitt's close, and I think Pitt's close, but there's another ACC team that just beat Pitt that I actually think be a discussion.
I know that. Yeah.
At Pitt in the zoo.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to get to them. We might get to them soon, well, very soon here, actually. But let's go ahead. We're going to make that one change. I think that's the love I've heard is put Wisconsin in here. Drop UCLA back to under consideration. That seems to be our sixth line. And we will keep things rolling along here. Go back to Titel now for the 7 seeds.
I like West Virginia and Georgia. I hate UCLA just because they're on a horrible streak, and I'm worried that, like, I don't know if they're going to be able to play home games with the Fires. I don't know if, like, Cronin is going to, like, fire the whole team. Like, I think they've got serious problems, even though the metrics are 7-seed worthy. As far as other teams, I think that Rick Pitino is things going in the right direction, so I want to get St. John's in the discussion. And then for a fourth, I think I want to put my Wildcats. I know that it's a lot of bias, but they've been playing so well after playing so horribly wrong. And fortunately, besides UCLA, most of the teams that have beaten them are already in. Duke is in, and Wisconsin's in. And I think this is a good spot for them, which is amazing because they were not in the field 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and how about that how about those teams, Joby, especially this Arizona team? I agree with Titel. I love this team right here because this team is red hot right now.
Yeah. I'm with Titel.
Their top two wins are on the road. That has to mean a lot.
I will be shocked if everybody's talking about, I think Houston could win the Big 12. And then, hey, they very well may, but I think Arizona could win the Big 12.
Yeah.
Right now. Arizona, I'm fine with Titel's inclusions. With Arizona, it's actually, and this is what I was hinting at in the last sequence. I think we got to talk Louisville here, and Louisville actually has collected a. Once again, this is my metric that I really like: is have you beat teams you're going to play in March? Well, guess what? They have, including West Virginia, who I agree should be on this line, and Pitt, and Clemson, North Carolina, Indiana is going to be considered by our board tonight. Yeah. I don't know if they'll make it, but they'll be considered. So you've got four tournament wins sitting there. The losses, nothing. I mean, every team except for Oklahoma has been, and who's not probably far off, has already been listed here. I'm and the win at Pitt was very impressive this weekend. Because Pitt, it was a good game, you know, of two teams that I think should be vying for white. Louisville, I would go with over St. John's. St. John's has really, once again, it's my metric. I'm not in love with what St. John's has on the win column here. Not that they deserve a lot of punishment for what their losses are, but, you know, I'd argue that every one of Louisville's office losses are better than at Creighton, who isn't bad, but isn't the level of what's happened here.
Yeah, Matt, you're a Big East guy, and I got to agree with Joby here. I don't see a win by St. John's over anybody that I think is going to be in our field tonight.
You know what?
Other than New Mexico.
New Mexico
except for one, I'll be vetoing the whole
time. New Mexico should be in the field, but I mean, it's a home win. That's what St. John's I had on the seventh line, but a lot of it's metric based to where their wins ain't great, but that even everything up together, the OAR of 25.
Yeah, so they don't have a loss outside tier one.
They don't, Mike, but neither does Louisville.
That's true. But Louisville has more losses.
Does have more losses, yes. But Tytel, what would you think about knocking St. John's down and putting Louisville in their place?
Love it, because the first-year coach, you know I love them, Pat Kelsey, has had to work with like a totally switched-up rotation because he's lost like four key guys due to injury. So I would think that would be a nice reward. We usually reward teams if they lose games without all their healthy starters. But for this case, I want to reward them for winning games without their healthy starters.
Let's go to the 8 line. And, Mike, let me go back to you now. Who would your next four teams up be? We only have St. John's and UCLA under consideration right now. So why don't you throw me any
I'll
four
take
teams
those
you like.
Two into the 8 okay. line. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Let's see. Nebraska and Oklahoma.
Nebraska and Oklahoma. That sounds like a big a rivalry there.
Yeah, Big Eight.
Rocco, what do you think? St. John's, UCLA, Nebraska, Oklahoma for the 8 line.
I don't know where I stand on Nebraska, quite honestly. I know they got the road Creighton win. I just watched them get destroyed today.
Yes.
But a lot of people get destroyed there, so that's not a huge problem. I think next in line for me, I just want to see your board. Chad, can you pull up the board?
Yep.
Thank you. I had San Diego State.
That's a team that I thought needs to be mentioned here, actually.
And I have Oklahoma, I agree with, although they haven't won a conference game. And I think, did we do Louisville? We did get Louisville.
We got Louisville in the 7 line.
Wow. Yeah. And Pittsburgh and Clemson.
No, and Clemson will be the next two up. Yep.
Yeah, those are my next two, and then I have UC Irvine after that.
Okay, hold on a second here. Let me get a few teams here under consideration. But Joby, you're the ACC guy. Should one of those ACC teams pick Clemson, or maybe a good Mountain West team like you love, also San Diego State, over the Cornhuskers?
Pitt trade with Nebraska, and I think you're looking at it actually. A pretty good 8-9 line. Rocco, I'm kind of with you a little bit on Irvine. I might – this is a little early, but not way early. I had him on my 10 line seed, in the middle of my 10 line. So I actually think you're staring – if you gave Pitt and Nebraska flip spots, then I think I'd almost be comfortable just inserting that under consideration into the 9 line. Maybe thinking about Irvine a little bit, but not long. You know,
The thought here being let's take Nebraska down a line, maybe bring Pitt up, maybe bring San Diego State up. I also heard mentioned. I know Joby, you won't do that. Tytel, would you?
But
do that?
I do have him on the 9 line. I would agree to the 9 line.
Would you bring a San Diego State or a Pitt up over Nebraska?
I think I'd bring up Pitts. As much as I want to bring up San Diego State, this is one of those like close but no cigar teams. They were leading Utah State back in December by 18 points after 18 minutes and lost. Like that's like your signature win on a silver platter. Not that Houston's a bad one either, obviously, but they had it in their grasp and then totally choked it away.
Okay, so I'm kind of here. Let's take Nebraska down. Let's put Pittsburgh in, and maybe we move right on to the nine line. Now, remember, eight seeds will play nine seeds, so it's not a huge difference between the nine line here, other than who wears white. But let's see. That was Mike. I think, Joby, you're up next here for the nine line.
Yeah.
Would you take those four?
Like I said, let's insert that under consideration. I'm going to hold off on you, Sarah Irvine, though. Completely open to arguments on it. I'm with you, Rocco, on the thought there. I'm going to make this. I'm going to pull the trigger on the Tar Heels here.
Yeah. Matt, what do you think?
That's what I was thinking.
Like, tournament teams.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Caroline, right in this 8-9 range too of like solid, and I think this is about where we could say you're solidly in the field as of now. After this. I think there's a decent drop off. I mean, Irvine's definitely a consideration for the next couple of lines. I think it'd be a hair premature now because they didn't have a whole lot on their resume before yesterday.
They had that loss at Duquesne and Rocco. That's the one blemish here, and they don't have a win over a tournament team. Whereas maybe North Carolina does with the UCLA win on the resume there.
And Dayton.
Oh, I think they played one. They haven't played a tournament team. So
they won at UC San Diego.
San Diego, you know, could be a fringe bubble team right now. So, you know, they've done really good damage. They played more road games than almost anybody in the country. And they won a ton of them, including the big one last night.
Okay. Let me look at a team here, Chad, that maybe I didn't notice something about them, but I had them actually around the 7-8 range. Texas Tech. Maybe I'm missing something here.
Lack of beating anybody.
Beehive State champions.
Yeah.
Okay, Griggs. They won at BYU, who is not in this field and probably won't make it. They won at Utah, who will not make this field. They have losses to two teams in St. Joe's and UCF who are not going to be in this field. So tell me what Texas Tech has done to merit an NCAA tournament bid right now. Griggs, go ahead.
Good point.
Okay.
I think the Beehive road sweep is next to impossible for a team like Texas Tech, and they did it. That blows me away, honestly.
I'm going to leave them under consideration. I'll put them down there at number 10, Griggs. How's that? Mike, is there anybody else that we missed then? Or is this San Diego State, Nebraska, Clemson, North Carolina kind of the right line?
Yeah, now it's starting to get a little murky here. Nine looks pretty solid. I mean, I wanted to say, as for UC San Diego, they have a win at Utah State. I mean, that for the, what it's worth.
I had them both inside the bubble, although not quite this high.
Let's jump
Which
over
is good. We don't want them in an 8-9 game anyway. Let's start with them on the bed.
Matt, let me go to you for the next four teams up. We really the only team we have under consideration is UC Irvine at the moment.
Which I don't have. I would have if I was doing the 11 line, I'd have it, but not. I have Maryland, Missouri, St. Mary's, and New Mexico.
So four brand new teams we have not yet discussed at all. Tytel, what do you think? Maryland, Missouri, St. Mary's, New Mexico.
I like the Terps here a lot. I think New Mexico's still a seed line away. They're certainly trending in the right direction, but I didn't even have them in my field like 48 hours ago, so I don't know if I'm ready to throw them right into the 10 line. St. Mary's, I like, and Missouri, I like. I would also say that the Buckeyes should be under consideration here if you have not put them in yet. So I think I would actually plug them in over the Lobos, but that's just because we only can have so many Patinos in one field, I think.
Okay. Joby, I know you agree that Ohio State belongs in over New Mexico, so I won't even throw the question to you.
I legitimately do like Ohio State here. But yes.
Well, Rocco, let me ask you about this. And I think one of the cases for New Mexico actually has to do with their worst loss, because that worst loss is getting better and better every day. Now, that might be a tier two loss the way New Mexico State's playing right now.
Well, yeah, and you couple that with the fact that it's one of the most intense rivalry games in all of the country, where they split the tickets half and half, even though it's a home game. So it was half Aggie fans in the pit that night. I'll digress on all that. But, yeah, I think obviously the way the two teams are playing right now, New Mexico is the better team. But I think the body of work matters. Ohio State's win over Kentucky matters. I think Ohio State will be better later in the year. But I think for today, I would take New Mexico, no doubt.
You would go to Mexico. Greg, do you want to cast a tiebreaker here, Ohio State or New Mexico?
I had Ohio State, but it was close. I'm not that big on Missouri.
Okay, hold on. Let's go ahead and we'll make that move for Ohio State. New Mexico held over for now. And pull up Missouri. You want to make a case against Missouri being in here?
Yeah. They're a home court hero against teams that, other than Kansas, are horrible on the road.
Okay.
But
they won the border war. I would have thought that alone would have won you over.
And a win over a Vanderbilt team that we probably are going to mention here in very shortly.
What's Vandy's road record? Those are not bad teams, but they're bad road teams.
Vandy is 2-1 on the road. That's a winning record. They're 5-2 away from home. That's also a winning record. So
I still don't. I mean, you know, I don't like them as much.
But they lost to Missouri, Chad, on the road. They can't be very good.
Yeah, they lost to Mizzou on the road. Come on. I think UC San Diego I think the win at Utah State was actually harder than beating Kansas at home. Not that beating Kansas at home is easy, but it is very hard to win at Utah State.
Okay, can we not forget that UC San Diego did lose a home game to Seattle?
Yeah, they did. I'm just making the point that I'm not that enamored with Missouri.
I think we've got the line, though. I think, Rick, you're the only one against Missouri that I've heard so far.
Well, I'm the only one that's correct.
Chad, go ahead.
Chad, I just took a closer look at Ohio State. They're 4-6 in meaningful games. I just don't think there's a place for them at all in the bracket right now.
Okay, so maybe we are flipping back. We're putting New Mexico back in here, holding over on Ohio State.
They did.
Okay. They're not even within one game of 500 in meaningful games.
What's Mizzou's record in meaningful games?
And that's why I told you guys all at the start of the show that Wake Forest is better than them.
What's Mizzou's record in meaningful games?
Mizzou is sitting at 5-3, so they're totally acceptable. Two above 500.
Yeah, if they get to play at home in the tournament, they'll do fine.
Okay. We have Ohio State, UC Irvine, UC San Diego under consideration. Also, Texas Tech technically under consideration as well. But we are going to go for four more teams, which may get us very close to the end of the at-larges. But, Rocco, why don't I throw it over to you for four more teams?
Whew. All right. It's getting tricky now. Got to figure out who we haven't talked about. All right, so St. Mary's got in, and New Mexico got in, Missouri got in, Maryland got in. Thank you very much. Arizona State would be next.
Yeah, good team, good pick.
Thank you. Obviously, Irvine, I had in a long time ago. I would also have UC San Diego.
Yes,
and Dayton.
Good selection.
UC San Diego
and Dayton would be after them.
Diego and Dayton. That would still leave us with
Big West love here.
You were on a roll, and then you selected Dayton.
Body of work, Griggs. Body of work. They beat that UConn team that you love.
They did. And then they lost to UMass, who I do not love. As much as I love Angry
Frank. It was a road game, unlike Missouri.
Yeah. Okay. I do like them. Dayton let me down. I took it personally because I was hyping them up so much.
Titel, what do you think about Rocco's picks here? The two Big West teams, along with Arizona State, and which I know you aren't going to like, and Dayton, and an auto qualifier from the A-10.
I was going to say, ask and answer about the Sun Devils. as far as some of the metrics, like the JNG, likes Ohio State more than some of our 10 seeds, so I think that they have to get in at a minimum on the 11 seed line here. And as far as Texas Tech, like, while the J&G does not like them, their metrics in everything else are above, like, St. Mary's, who's on the 10 line. So I think they have to get in the 11 line as well, just because if you can't have somebody whose metrics are much better than them without getting these teams in very soon afterwards, right?
Matt, what do you think? Should Ohio State and or Texas Tech then be in over one or two of these teams?
Yeah, I would take Ohio State and Texas Tech over UC San Diego and Dayton.
Mike, what do you think? What do you think? Should we make that flip?
Between who? Dayton and who?
To take UC San Diego and Dayton both out for now, put Ohio State and Texas Tech in.
I would be in support of that.
All right. Sorry, Rocco. I was with you leaving Ohio State out. That's why I had them in the blind resume at the start, but we're not winning that argument right now.
I'm still organizing some of these teams, so I would have Dayton out. Sorry for bringing them up. And I'm with you on Texas Tech, but I'm strong on the Big West, and I'm strong on the Buckeyes having no place in this bracket. So,
all right. Well, we got one of the Big West teams in. Of course, that would be our auto bid qualifier. The way that we're doing the math here, UC San Diego is still under consideration along with Dayton, and Griggs. There are only two at-large spots left.
Yep.
Let me give me your next two teams, and if you give me a Dayton or another auto qualifier, that's fine, but just give me two teams either way.
Okay, the two teams are UC San Diego, who I think goes right back in. I think they have the most impressive win by far, not just among the bubble teams, but among everybody in the bottom half of the bracket. The win at Utah State was phenomenal. So I like them, and I don't have Dayton, but the team I do have rhymes with Dayton.
Is it Creighton?
It is Creighton.
That is a team that I was wondering why they weren't in yet. Clever. Not even mentioned, because they'd be my best team that we didn't mention.
And I like how they're playing now. I think they're entering a stretch of their schedule where a lot of the games are winnable, and it's just going to – I mean, they're not going to hit any, like, big treasure chests, but they're going to collect nickels and dimes along the way and sort of build up their profile that way. They're a good team.
Are there let me see here. Joby, what do you think about that? UC San Diego and Creighton going head-to-head in the first four matchup, according to Griggs. Did I lose Joby?
Joby is so disgusted.
I love the Creighton bit. And at this stage, I can't pull it because of the Seattle loss. I mean, I it's so close. It's not. And so I won't be offended if UC San Diego stays. I would go, well, Dayton would be on my seed list higher, but they're the auto out of the A-10.
Let's go ahead. I'll put Dayton right in here. At the
top
they're, of the
12, they're the auto out of the A-10.
Because they're
the
an auto
team
paper.
That I would debate with UC San Diego is Iowa.
It'd probably be more fun seeing UC San Diego make it.
That is a horrendous profile.
UC Iowa's profile? What have
they
done?
That's a lot of home wins against, like, they don't have a true road win. They lost to Utah State on a neutral floor, who UC San Diego beat.
Don't they kind of have the same profile right now that Houston does?
Yeah.
I mean, just say, Griggs.
And Texas Tech. And
Texas Tech.
Yeah, but if you're comparing them to the – I just think UC San Diego is better.
Then you'd have UC San Diego on the sixth line. We get it.
I actually had them a little bit higher. Well, no, I had them at the top of the 11, and I had UC Irvine. I had them 40 and 41, so bottom of the 10, top of the 11.
I like what Iowa has done recently. You know, they beat a team that's in the field in Nebraska, and they just, you know, another team that I think we'll discuss in the under consideration but not in, they just obliterated Indiana. And after Indiana had turned their season around, ironically, and then Iowa said, no, your season's not turned around. We're going to put you right back outside the tournament. And
beating Indiana is, I mean, that almost doesn't count. It's Indiana. Think,
for, if we're going under the radar too, I think I might like Drake over UCSD.
I could put Drake in here, Matt, because they'd be an auto qualifier, so it wouldn't change our field. We still need another team.
Okay, yeah.
Because they could not go to the first floor four if they're the auto bid winner out of the Missouri Valley.
But no, just, I do I like Iowa over UCSD. It's kind of boring and whatever. For the health of the sport, it'd probably be better if UCSD made it, but like
I
if you're
just
trying to
think
do
you
it objectively.
I think on a neutral floor, UC San Diego beats them.
Okay, let's get a few more
I
paints here.
mean,
Mike, UC San Diego or Iowa? Or someone else? We had mention of Indiana. We haven't heard many other teams mentioned.
Yeah, I'm surprised Indiana hasn't been mentioned yet.
You're gonna have a lot of selling on Indiana if we debated with Iowa and Iowa just blew them out.
UC San Diego or Iowa? I'd pick Iowa, but
Okay, Titel, what do you think? Are we leaving the Tritons home?
we are. I'd be stunned if Irvine and UCSD both get in, but then again, like I think mathematically they can literally both win 28 games, in which case they deserve to be in. I don't think it's going to happen, but the math right now is possible. And before you all give up on Indiana, like Malik Reneau has missed the last three games, including the Iowa loss. When he's healthy, he scores like 20 a game. He wasn't healthy. Like, I understand they lost by more than 20, but that's a huge injury that is an X factor.
Here's UC San Diego's upcoming schedule. The big game is that February 8th game. If they can complete what we call the Roadwood Exchange program with Irvine, we've got a battle. If Irvine gets the sweep of San Diego, that they may need to win the auto bid. That may be their only path. I'll just throw
Yeah,
that out
but
there.
yeah, I mean, it was the road win exchange program. But UCSD's gone on the road and they've played, and they didn't. Yeah, they lost. That Seattle loss smells pretty bad. But I still think that the Utah State win is good enough. It's better than what anybody from basically the nine line down has, minus San Diego State over Houston, maybe. But that was a monster win to go in there and get that one.
We only have two teams we've mentioned under consideration. Who else do we think is close here that we have not mentioned tonight?
Oh, we put da oh Dayton's in. Okay, Drake's in.
Arkansas, Chad. I would say Arkansas is close behind them.
Arkansas needs some wins, though. Here we'll pull up that
Yeah,
profile.
no, agreed.
They've only been in Michigan for the top two tiers.
Which is better than Houston and Texas Tech.
And you know what? If we're talking about teams that beat Michigan, I think we should throw that Wake Forest team that we started the show off with up here under consideration.
UCF, Chad, UCF.
I think for mentioning that Rocco, because it seems to me as soon as Kansas beat them by 5 million points, everybody just said, "Oh, this team stinks," and forgot about them. They still won at Texas Tech. They beat Texas
Beat
A&M. Those are
A&M.
two teams that are in our field, and they don't have a bad loss, really, do they? Triple overtime to LSU.
No, that's not bad. It was in the tournament in Greenbrier, West Virginia. Also, like their WAB is 40. All their other resume stuff's top 40. They're going to get looked at if it ended right now.
I could be convinced of UCF over Iowa, who I threw out.
Yeah, I like UCF better. They've got more pieces of they got a piece of gold and Iowa doesn't.
Well, maybe we make should we make that move there? Should we put UCF in and Iowa out? Matt, what do you think?
It wouldn't affect me too much, yeah. Like
Well, it looks like we just made a move.
Well, there is a team I like even more than
Brett,
UCF.
you
It's
on that?
UC
Just
San
signed up for
Diego.
the podcast.
The one we
Matt,
haven't mentioned, I said we haven't mentioned Vanderbilt yet.
yes, we
I
mentioned
agree,
them.
Matt.
Too many
Vanderbilt
SEC
deserves
teams.
discussion, but not
Yeah.
in, but discussion.
You're
A
probably
team
not
that,
going to see more than 11, so.
yeah, a team that's not really near the field right now, but that is, well, oh, you've already got Wake Forest out there. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay.
Because I was
Anyone
going to say,
else?
like, they should, maybe they shouldn't be on the board, but they might be one of those teams that, because there's somebody that we're not even talking about that is way off of everyone's radar and deserves to be, that's going to really hit the gas and sprint towards the finish. It happens every year.
Well,
I
Texas,
mean,
I think, could be that team, but they don't deserve it at all right now.
they don't deserve
Yeah,
it at all right
I
now.
would say the same. I would say the same about Villanova. They've played a lot better, but they fell short against St. John. But
They're going to have
they
that
look like
tier
a
four
tournament
loss
team this
against
year.
Virginia.
Yeah,
That's right.
they're gonna have to lift a
Or
lot
only
of
be
it.
tier three, Joby. Only tier three.
Yeah, I'll throw them
Yeah.
in there because they were the top 25 most of the year. But I think Cincinnati should be at least on the board still. But I think we all agree they're trending in the wrong direction right now.
Yeah. Another team, and again, it may not be this team, but it is nor there is a team like this. Is Rutgers going to get its act together and start stringing it together wins? I
No,
mean,
no, they're
yeah.
not.
We've seen it. I mean, we've seen South Carolina do it. We saw
I think that
Nebraska do it
boat's
one year.
capsized, unfortunately,
Yeah.
Chad. That boat's
Yeah. There is
capsized
a
at this
team out
point.
there in a power conference that's sitting sort of way below everybody else that's going. I mean, it happens every year. It
You could
might
sell
be.
me on a, you could sell me on a Northwestern or a Penn State or a Colorado before you sell me on North
Well,
or even the
Colorado was
LSU.
another team that I. Yeah.
Or yeah, or S or
Colorado's
SM,
real.
SMU doesn't have a bad loss yet,
Yeah,
but
okay.
they need some wins.
They've
They've
lost.
been blowing their chances, Rocco. I was pounding the SMU drum, but the problem is
Yeah.
they didn't take advantage of
Oops.
their opportunities.
Exactly. And they only play everybody once,
Yep.
so they don't get another chance until the ACC tournament on some of those teams.
I quickly filled out the rest of the 12 line there through Furman and College of
Oh,
Charleston in there.
lost.
And I will quickly also
Two teams that
display.
aren't even in first, Chad.
They're not even at first, but they're both the best teams in their conference, Rocco.
But they lost to Monmouth.
I'm
just giving you a hard time. I'm giving
McNeese,
you a
my
hard time.
friend. McNeese.
Okay.
Chad
I'll
doesn't
give
take the
McNeese.
conference-ly.
I'll give you McNeese here. We'll push Charleston to the 13 line, but I'll quickly show the 13 through 16 lines here if it works. Maybe it won't. We'll switch McNeese to Charleston real quick here, if I can spell that correctly. Grand Canyon, Princeton, High Point in the 13 line. Northern Colorado, Lipscomb, New Mexico State, and Lowell in the 14 line. Norfolk State, Miami, Ohio, South Alabama. Who, given what Arkansas State just did, that's why I put South Alabama in there for the Sun Belt champion in Marist. Cleveland State Southern, Morehead State, Omaha, Army West Point, and Long Island.
Army, wow.
And let me throw the Army argument in here because I knew Griggs, you would mention this. There's been. The Patriot League is 20 games into the conference season. The home teams are 19-1. Only one road team has won a game so far in the Patriot League. It is Army with their win. That makes them my Patriot League leader right now.
Good logic there.
So, on that note, let me run through each of you now. Any thoughts on what we did, what we've got here, anything else about college basketball at all, whatever you want to throw out there for a
Wow.
final thought. And let me start with Joby.
I think it's very interesting right now. Our Big West discussion is very well suited for this because when you talk and if those Big West teams unfortunately stub their toes, they're going to both fall out. And that's a shame because they really deserve the discussion that they received right now. They are good. That win at Utah State was good. Irvine's win reciprocating the win at UCSD was good. But with what's happened in these mid-tier conferences, Dayton losing to UMass and stubbing their toe, Drake not
Oh, no, they didn't
fulfilling
stub their toe, they amputated
it.
it.
Drake not doing their job. All of a sudden, the number of bids, the number of conferences that will be inside the bubble, I think, has shrunk. And if the Big West joins it, that means we're going to have only nine conferences, one of the lowest we've seen in a long time, inside the bubble, most likely. And so that's something to watch, even with the extra at large bid due to the Pac-12's departure.
Yeah, that's why we see. I didn't do the quite do the count here, but we've got a lot of SEC teams and a lot of Big Ten teams in here. Mike.
Not surprisingly, the at-large pool is very large, and I knew that would happen because it's only early January. But I think as we go along, I think it's that's like the men separated from the boys, whatever metaphor you want to use, the wheat separating from the chaff. But overall, I like this. I like this bracket here. It's pretty solid. I mean, we have some disagreements, but that's fine. You can, you're splitting hairs. I mean, it just depends on what things you prefer. And but yeah, I'm really excited about the upcoming weeks and separating the men from the boys here.
Yeah, I think we will. We got Rocco.
Yeah, premature is my final thought. Still very premature, especially if you are in the top three leagues. I think they are playing by completely different rules than the other 28 leagues, mainly because you're looking at eight Big 12 teams on the board, eight or more Big 10. I didn't count those, and certainly at least 11 SECs. So if you're not on the board, but you're in one of those leagues, you're going to have nothing but opportunities, and we don't even have anywhere near your full mature data yet. And so those teams are all incomplete, including you, Oklahoma, who's sitting on the eight line with no league wins right now. But I think in the other 29 leagues, like we were talking about, sorry, the other 28 leagues, with SMU as an example, you know, these unbalanced schedules in the ACC and even WCC to a degree here, you know, the Big East is kind of a tweener right now where they have. Obviously, UConn, St. John's look awesome, and Marquette's the leader. How much of that middle can get a piece of the action? There's just not a lot of at bats even there. It is more mature for those leagues, so it's an interesting exercise because we know like what UC Irvine and UC San Diego are up against, and we have no idea what these bigger bubble teams are up against because they have 15 to 20 more games that are all going to be meaningful. So it's just really interesting how there's such a great divide in how these teams can approach their season.
All right. Real quick note here. I just did some quick math. If I got it right, I believe we ended up putting 11 SEC teams in, 10 Big Ten teams in, to lead the
Thank
way.
you. And that's a good guess. I think that's a good guess for right now.
Matt.
Now, one thing we debate, I think, toward the protected seed range, I think it's one to watch out for is Memphis, because right now their resume, I think, is probably protected seed worthy. And I, of course, being a predictive metric guy, didn't love their predictive, so I had them a touch lower. But hey, objectively, three or four isn't a bad argument. But man, every loss they take is probably about a two seed line drop. So to keep them in the protected seed range, they just about got to run the table.
They do. Let me real quick pull up that Memphis remaining schedule here. I mean, there is. Do they have another game with North Texas, or are they done with them?
I don't
No,
think
they're
so.
done with North Texas. I thought they had a road game at North Texas. So
They've
no,
got, yeah,
they
their
can't.
only
another
have some
Q1 game
holes.
on that resume.
No, there isn't.
Their only other top 100 currently net game is a home game against Florida Atlantic. This is essentially, a power conference team schedule in reverse. They're doing the equivalent of bye games in the second half of the year.
Tytel.
Two of the possible matchups that caught my eye, Arizona, New Mexico. They haven't played since 2017, but I'm old enough that I remember it's been a long time rivalry. The teams have actually faced each other 127 times, dating back more than a century. So it'd be great to get that rivalry back on track, especially on such a stage. And then in a 4-5 game, I would love to see Tom Izzo go up against somebody like Dan Hurley or Mark Few. I mean, that's coaching legends against coaching legends right there.
What was your first matchup, John? I'm sorry.
Arizona, New Mexico.
Oh, okay. Yeah, gotcha.
And Chad, I forget who won the Eagles game today.
The Eagles game? You mean the football game?
Please
right,
stop
we
that.
just totally we just
Okay.
totally, we just totally lost basketball. Griggs, you'll finish off the show
Well,
here.
I wanted to
okay.
hear Chad sing. Oh.
That was horrible, but it's still not as bad. It's Dayton. I'm glad we didn't put them into the field. I don't know where Stalika found that promo that we play sometimes, but and under the radar, I'll start with my final thought there and saying that out of this whole tournament, the first four game between Army and Long Island would be the best one. It's no, stop. Stop it. We don't need to. It just wouldn't get any better than that. Army and Long Island, you don't even need to play the tournament after that. Just play that one game and shut it down. There's going to be a lot of movement. Everything is still pivotal. You're going to see teams. I mean, it's going to become less and less drastic as we get more and more data and more weeks into the season. But what really separates even like the 9 and the 10 line from the protected seeds right now might just be a matter of two or three games. So if someone, especially from the SEC, were to get hot and were to start stringing together wins, let's say Missouri, They could still shoot way up. So there's going to be a lot of movement between now and the end.
Yeah, and if you kind of funny, if you look at that seven line, you've got a team on there in Arizona, which I could see them as a protected seed at the end of the
Yeah.
day, and you've got a team in there in Georgia, who I could see them out of the field at the end of the day.
Yeah, you could. And again, we talked about Houston, and in my opinion, correctly, did not give them a protected seed. If anything, you could make a case that they shouldn't be as high as they are. But if they win the Big 12, they're going to be a protected seed.
I guess on that note, you can now look below and see the final bracket that we put together with all this. But on behalf of David Griggs, Matt Sikowski, Joby Fortson, John Titel, Mike Cha, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back later on this week with a Hoops HD report. And under the radar report, we'll go into all those teams on the 13 through 16 lines a lot more. But on that note, thanks for joining us, and we will be talking to you again real soon.